Normally, I have somebody pray for me before I preach, but I want to pray instead. It was a rough week in America this week. It was a rough week, and it started last Friday with this singer from The Voice, Christina Grimmie, who is actually a member of Alliance Church in Medford, New Jersey. And it started with in Orlando with her shooting, and then on Saturday night, the tragedy that took place. And I've been following the news all week, and I'm sad, honestly, I'm sad. Because we just sang this song, bless you, Lord. And the Word of God says blessing and cursing can't come from the same mouth. And I'm sad for some of the things that I've read that have come from supposedly the mouths of Christians. I'm saddened by that. And in the same breath, I'm hopeful because all the news wasn't about people who call on the name of the Lord and curse. There were some amazing people who follow the Jesus that we serve, who stepped up and loved on people in the midst of tragedy. There was churches that opened their doors for funerals of people they didn't know, who gave blood to people they didn't know, who made sandwiches for people they didn't know. And that, people, is the arms and feet and mouths of Jesus Christ. And that is who we as a church need to be. And so with that in mind, can we just take a moment and just pray? Lord Father, we're saddened by what we've seen throughout this week. Ultimately as a result of a fallen world in desperate need of a Savior. And so, Lord, I ask that as we continue throughout these days of seeing more and more and more of the enemy rearing his head and doing despicable things out of hate, Holy Spirit, I ask that your church would rise up. That your church would rise up and love on people that are in desperate need of you. That your grace would so overshadow us and through our mouths and our hearts and our actions, people would see you in the midst of these tragedies. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Hey, so we've been in this series on listening to God, hearing the voice of God, and we started off a couple weeks ago with how to discern the Father's voice. I read from Ephesians chapter 1 about the blessings that we receive from Christ and that Paul's desire for the church in Ephesus, and it's our desire for us as well, that the eyes of our heart would be open to the things of God, meaning the things that come into our brain would resonate in our souls and cause us to act. And we say that God speaks through Scripture, and we gave a parenthetical to that Scripture means what it says unless the context tells you otherwise. And when we look at Scripture outside of context, we end up saying things that we shouldn't. We end up interpreting things that we think are from God and they're really not, because they're through our lens and not the context of Scripture. So that's very important. But God speaks through Scripture. And that He also speaks audibly. There's times when He speaks audibly. There's times when He does some of the things that Heather was telling us about. There's times when He speaks through creation, He speaks through the arts, He speaks through our thoughts, He speaks through pictures and images, He speaks to words in our minds. He's God, He's speaking. And then we said, we gave you Philippians chapter 4:8, kind of as a checklist that the things that you're hearing that are coming into your brain, the checklist there is, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about such things. So the things that are coming into your brain, because there's three voices, we talked about that too, there's three voices, ours, God's, and the enemy's, and the discerning factor is those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. If that's what you're hearing, then clearly it's from God, or he's bringing you to a place where you're clearly hearing from him. The things that don't speak to that are clearly from the enemy. And then last week, Pastor Jaime stepped up with 2 days' notice for my sick self and laid down this amazing sermon for us on when God seems silent and what that means. And oftentimes, in his silence, he's creating within inside of us a longing for him. So sometimes when God is silent, there's a purpose to it. And then also sometimes when God seems silent, there's a part for us to play. There's a block or a barrier that needs to be removed. And so with that in mind this morning, I want to talk to us about soundproofing our life or making space to listen. And we're going to do that from 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. And so if you could just flip there, if you have your Bible with you. If you don't, we have a Bible provided for you in front of you. I forgot to look up the number, so it's all right. There's a little table in the front of your Bible that you can find it. Or just pull it up on your phone. If you would just go there, and before we get there, I want to tell you a little story about fostering an environment. I have several pastor friends that travel all over the country, and they have created and fostered an environment where they can hear clearly from God. And I want to use this kind of as a catalyst to set us up for where I'm going this morning. And one of my friends got on a plane, and he did what he always does. Gets on a plane and sits and goes, okay, Lord, I'm sitting here. I'm going to be on this plane for the next 5-6 hours. There's 100-plus people here. Is there anything you want to say to me for them? Not a little prayer. Like, I got time to kill. And so he's in this time of prayer, and he says, he felt like God say, if I were on the plane with you, where would I sit? And he looked to his left and his right, and there was a person sitting there and a person sitting there. And he goes, well, Lord, you'd probably not sit next to me because there's no seat available. All right, well, look around the plane. Where would I sit? And he looked around, saw a couple blank spots, and about 5 or 6 rows up in front of him, he saw a man, and he was reading a book, and the title of the book was How to Deal with Divorce. And there was an open seat sitting right next to him. And he said, well, God, I think probably if you were on this plane, you'd probably want to sit next to that guy. And in this time of prayer, the Lord said, if I were to sit next to him, what would I say to that man? Well, you'd probably want to encourage him that it's going to be okay. I want you to write down what you think I would say to him. So my buddy got his piece of paper out, and he's started writing down, hey, looks like you're going through a rough time right now, and I just want you to know that God loves you and cares about you and sees you in the midst of this time. And he wrote it down and said, if I was to sit next to him, would you hand him that piece of paper? Right, so now you want me to get up and give this piece? Yes, get up, give the piece of paper to him. Seatbelt sign goes off, he walks up, puts the piece of paper down in front of the guy, walks back to his seat and sits down. Guy pulls up the piece of paper, reads it, takes his glasses off, wipes his eyes, puts his glasses down, reads it again, turns around, looks at the guy, looks at the paper, wipes his eyes again. After the plane arrived, my buddy's walking off the plane, and the guy was waiting for him. He said, you're the one that gave me this piece of paper, right? Yeah. Why'd you give me that piece of paper? He said, well, I'm a pastor. I was sitting back here praying. I saw the book you were reading. God said, hey, listen, go encourage this guy. And the man started crying again. And he said, I just left my wife this morning, and she begged me to stay. And she said, what would it take for you to stay? And he said, it would take an act of God. An act of God. And he said, sir, I don't know who you are, but I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for your willingness to do this. And my buddy went to the bathroom. He came back out, and the man was on the phone with his wife in tears, saying how he was going to come home. We have to foster an environment. We need to. It's a must for people that believe in the Jesus that I'm talking about. It's a must for us to foster an environment to soundproof our lives so we can clearly hear from him. He'll do it in the midst of chaos. He'll do it in the midst of a plane. He'll do it anywhere if we begin to build ourselves into a place where we can clearly hear from him. So let's look at a passage of scripture this morning that I think will help us in this process, right? It's 1 Kings chapter 19. And I just want to give you a precursor to this. So Heather did, thank you. She's amazing. She's amazing at this. She set the story up great. Elijah was, he was a prophet, and God did amazing things in and through him. Right before this story, the king at the time, the king of Israel at the time, or king of Judah at the time, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, caused the whole kingdom to steer away from God and worship other gods. And they were killing off anybody, any prophet that spoke about the Lord God. And in the midst of that, God called Elijah to step up on behalf of him. And Elijah threw down a gauntlet and said, hey, listen, let's get together. We'll build two altars. And whichever God responds with fire, that's the true God. And so the other prophets, they built their altar and they were dancing around. They would cut themselves. They were dancing and their God did not answer. And then Elijah asked he asked them to pour water on his altar, on top of the wood, on top of everything. Three times water in the midst of a drought, pouring all this water on the altar. And then he prayed to God, and God answered with fire, consumed the whole thing, including the water. I'd be like, yeah! Be excited. And then as soon as that happens, Jezebel, the wife of the king, is furious and starts killing off anybody associated with the Lord God. And that's where we enter the story here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And it says in verse 1, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, I'm looking at the story, and I honestly struggle to put myself in Elijah's position, because he's just seen God answer with fire, consume this altar and water, and all of a sudden this lady says, hey, I'm going to kill you, and he gets all terrified. And I want to shake him and go, couple days ago, God consumed the altar with fire. What are you afraid of? That's like one part of me. And the other part of me is like, but she's got a knife. So the other part of me is, but there's a possibility she'll kill me. And he's stuck in this, and he's seen God act and speak over and over again, yet the situation that has happened in his life has caused him to go internal. And he's really in a place of fear and desperation. And these two things are battling here. And I think in order for us to hear clearly from God, I think there needs to be a certain sense of holy desperation for him. We're not going to hear from God if we're not listening. We're just not. Like sometimes we want God to just write in the sky, right, in the clouds, Lord, speak. We want the sign. We want the big thing. But we don't necessarily put ourselves in a position to hear. And then oftentimes there's some kind of block or barrier to our hearing. In this case, it was fear. I want to come back to that in a little bit. But there's a desperation that needs to take place, I think, in order for us to hear from God. And in order for us to hear from God, oftentimes there's some ministry that God needs to do in us. When we're hurt, when we're wounded, when we're feeling down and low, oftentimes it's very difficult for us to hear. And in this situation, Elijah had seen God do amazing things, but he was in a place of complete turmoil, sadness, despair, and God had to do some ministry over him before he could get him to a place he could hear. Several years ago, I was working at a church, and as a church, we were in the midst of turmoil. And the pastor was removed for a various sundry of reasons. The leadership was falling apart. And I was one of five or six staff people, and by the end of it, I was the only one left. Me and the secretary were the only ones left. High five, Sue. Only ones left. And I said, Lord, we're Christians. This stuff should not this shouldn't happen. And I desperately wanted God to speak, And a friend of mine who worked for a group out in Kansas City that did 24-hour prayer and worship, and he was driving through. He's like, hey, Jeff, I'm driving through. I'd love to come and do a prayer night at your church. Clearly, you guys could use some prayer. I'll come and do a prayer night. I sent it out to the entire church. Hey, listen, we need to come. We need to put ourselves in a position to hear from God. We need him. Please come. My buddy showed up. 7 o'clock was the time frame. Not a soul. 7:10, nobody. 7:15, nobody. 7:30, nobody. Just me and my buddy Dave. And I thought, wow, this is really bad. And then Dave looked at me and he said, Jeff, apparently I'm here for you. And he sat down at the piano and he just started playing. He's a ridiculous piano music guy. He's a pastor in Australia right now. And he just sat down at the piano and he pulled the Bible out and he started singing the book of Ephesians to me. He started singing through Ephesians. And you're bought with a price. You're chosen before the foundation of the world. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's singing. He's just making up a song on Ephesians and he's singing it over me. And I walked to the middle of the aisle and I just got down on my knees and I cried. I was angry. I was upset. The church doesn't care about you, God. And as he's singing scripture over me, I was brought to a place, the environment was fostered, my desperation was pulled away, and I heard clearly from God, through the word of God, through my body, Jeff, I care about you. I haven't gone anywhere. It's going to be okay. God takes Elijah, he ministers to him, and then says, go, I'm going to speak. And then this is what he does. Go to verse 9. It says, there he went into a cave, and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and tore down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak up over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and have put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go the way you came and go into the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, and Abel, Molol, to succeed as prophets. Jehu will put to death all who escape from the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death all who escape from the sword of Jehu. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. First off, at the beginning of this, it says the word of the Lord came to him. At this point, there is a textual understanding here that it's not yet the voice. There's words coming, but it's not yet the peace that God wants to say to him. And so this is a continuation of the preparation that is taking place. Because oftentimes I think, and then he goes into this series of signs here, oftentimes we want the sign. We want the writing in the sky. We want the boom. We would love in the midst of tragedies like this for God to go, enough! But there's a preparation taking place in order to get Elijah to the place where he can hear the voice. And when the voice spoke, Elijah knew. There's this turmoil going on. Oh, here comes the earth. Okay, this is God. No, it's not God. Oh, the wind. No, it's not the wind. The fire. No, it's not the fire. And then this gentle whisper takes place. I don't know what that gentle whisper was, but as soon as it took place, the preparation that had been taking place through God into Elijah brought him to a place where immediately he pulls the cloak over his face. And we talked about this a lot in preaching team this meeting this week, that oftentimes when people in Scripture hear from God, there's a holy reverence or fear that takes over them. When God shows up, oftentimes people are falling down on their face before him. Even sometimes when the angels of the Lord show up, they're falling down on their face before him. There's a gentle fear that takes place. And when he hears the whisper, he pulls the cloak over his face and goes out in a certain amount of humility to hear what God has to say to him. And God had been setting up these scenarios and fostering this environment to get him to a place of soundproofing his soul so that he could hear clearly from the Lord. And then when he spoke, what did he tell Elijah? You are not alone. I think one of the biggest voices that the enemy uses with us is to tell us we're alone. We're alone. You're alone. We have all these tragedies in America this week. God doesn't care anymore. You're alone. He doesn't care. And it's the biggest lie of the enemy. Oftentimes when God is speaking, it's very clearly, you are not alone. I am with you. And oftentimes when he speaks to us, it's to tell us, you are not alone and they're not alone. Go and tell them they're not alone. Pastor Jaime gave us a minute last week to listen to God. I thought it was brilliant on a sermon about when God seems silent, to stop and take a minute and go, God, if you want to speak, go ahead and speak. So I was sitting there, and he had me in a fostered environment to listen. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And immediately, four people popped into my head. Tell these people that they're not alone and that I love them. And so for the next 7 minutes while Jaime was preaching, I was sending text messages to people. And it is amazing conversations with people afterwards that was exactly what they needed to hear. I want to say this. We talked a lot about this when we were prepping this week. That there is a certain semblance of fostering the environment that needs to take place. Right? God brings Elijah to a place where he could hear in this cave. But creating that space to listen is not just about cultivating space. It's also about soundproofing from the one thing that prevents us from hearing. In Elijah's life, in this situation, that one thing was fear. The fear had to be removed in order for God to speak to Elijah. And I've had situations in my life where I wanted to hear from God and Jeff was standing in the way. A couple years ago, I told you a couple weeks ago about Dave Jansen, who is one of our assistant district superintendents, and he was telling me the story that I told you about how God had told him to get off the highway and go down the road and talk to this pastor and tell him that he cared about him. And he didn't do it. A couple weeks later, he runs into the guy in the mall not knowing, and they have this moment from the Lord. And when he was telling me this story, we were at a conference together, and he said, Jeff, God wants to speak. You have to be willing to listen and get over yourself so that he can do what he wants to do. And when we were done with that conversation together, I looked over and there was an older couple sitting to the left of me, and I felt like God said, go and speak to them. And immediately I discounted the voice. Immediately. That's in my head. It's all my head. It's all Jeff. God really doesn't want me to speak to this couple. And then Dave turns to me and says, hey, I know this couple over here. Let's go talk to them. So we go over and we start talking to them. And it doesn't take 2 minutes to realize that they need to be loved on. They were an older couple, had been in church for a really long time. A bunch of bad stuff was happening. People were just mistreating them as a couple. Mistreating them. They had said some really nasty and hurtful stuff to them. And they were hurting. And God, again, says, Jeff, pray for them. And I immediately discounted the voice. That's not God. Because God would never tell me to pray for somebody. Just trying to be vulnerable. Somebody else walks up and starts listening to the conversation and goes, we need to pray for you. And out of my mouth comes, yes, yes we do. We need to pray for you. So we start praying for this couple. And immediately, everybody starts praying for the guy. Everybody starts praying for the husband. Everybody starts praying for the pastor. And they're throwing down all this really good stuff out of their mouths to God on behalf of this guy. And my heart was ripping out of my body for this woman. Why? Because she did not have a voice. She was getting torn apart by all these negative voices. And her husband would come home and pour his heart out to her. And she couldn't say anything. She couldn't. Because she wanted to honor God with her mouth. But all that stuff is falling on her. And she was doing everything biblically that she was supposed to do, but she had no outlet. And everybody wrapped up their prayer and didn't pray for her at all. And there was no conversation that happened. I just started praying for her. And everybody joined back in. And I prayed for her. And it was clearly, I was not listening very well leading up to that point because God was saying, pray, 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 and I'll say, no, no, no. So everything that then came out of my mouth had absolutely nothing to do with Jeff. And I started praying for this woman, though. I had no clue who she was. And as I began to pray, she began to cry. Because the words that God was asking me to pray over her were words of affirmation and love, and that he cared about her despite everything else that was going on. And she reached over, grabbed my arm, and pulled me in and just smothered my face and sobbed. I believe that God wants to speak. There are times when he is silent. There are times when he is silent to bring us into a longing for him. But there are also times of silence in that there is some kind of block or barrier that needs to be removed in order for us to hear clearly from him. So I just want to give you a couple practical steps as we finish up this morning. Through this story, these are things that I see and things that have worked in my soul. So if you want to pull out your phones, this is probably like most of you have phones that you can write stuff down. I didn't want to waste any paper this morning because I didn't want you to discard this. Put it in your phone. Give yourself a reminder. Here's some practical steps to put us into a better place in understanding and hearing from God. Find a quiet space. Right? God took Elijah to a quiet place so he could hear from him. Maybe quiet isn't good for you. I really struggle with silence. My mind starts wandering, going crazy. Like the last three Wednesdays, I've gone to a quiet place to try to listen from God, and I struggled. So I'll use music that glorifies God. If I hear somebody else giving praise to God, normally it brings me to a place where I can listen. Scripture. I cannot not read Scripture and not get something from God. And then oftentimes, like, if those things aren't working, or I'll try this one anyway, a book that stirs me. There's some really great books about people who have gone deep, dug deep, heard from God. When you hear their story, if that doesn't stir you, call me up. We'll have a conversation. All right? These are just some environmental things that I think are good. And then, but then there is this other step, right, where there's a possibility that there's a block for us hearing from the Lord. And so this, I think this also involves soundproofing in this way. We need to remove that block in order to hear. In order to remove that block, a simple prayer sometimes will work. Lord, I give you blank, whatever it was, right? In that that story that I just told you, it was Jeff. Lord, help me get over myself. So that you can speak for me, speak to me. In Elijah's case, it was fear. Lord, I give you fear. And in whatever way you need to do that, maybe you need to do some practical steps that we've done here on a Sunday morning. So maybe you need to cup your hands. Maybe you need a physical like kind of thing and kind of visualize putting that thing in your hands and giving it over to the Lord. Maybe you see, you know, maybe you need to do something else, like write it down on a piece of paper and torch it. Some of you are pyros. Maybe that's what you need to do. I don't. Or stick it in a shredder. That noise, shred it up. Hey, and sometimes then it comes back, right? We've dealt with it. We've given it over. We're not hearing again. And so Jen Scapin said, hey, I love using Romans 8:6 about the mind controlled by God. And I'll just read that verse over and over and over again to help remove the block. Maybe those things aren't working, and so then we need to bring somebody else into the equation. You need to call somebody up. There's a lot of people here who would answer your call. Get out the phone and say, hey, listen, I got a block. I'm not hearing from the Lord. Can you just help me pray through this one together? And it's not working with them. We got some pros here at the church in the healing prayer team. Information's on the back of your bulletin. Send an email and say, hey, there is a block. I can't figure it out. I need some help. That's what the healing prayer team is here for. They will help you remove the block and barrier so that you can hear clearly from the Lord. But I believe, I have a presupposition that God is speaking. I have a presupposition that God desires to speak. I have a presupposition that we can hear. And that when we do hear, oftentimes, there's something that he desires to do in and through us that will not only affect our lives, it will affect others. And I believe that the kingdom of God needs this to happen, and he needs you. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask right now, Lord, I ask right now that you would minister to the minds of everyone sitting here. Lord, I ask that you would give us the empowerment to put these steps into action. Lord, empower your people this morning to put these steps into action so that we can get into a place where we clearly hear from you. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Will you stand? Let's close out this morning and sing.